Coming to you live and direct from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. Welcome, everybody. It's a waning crescent moon in Cancer, and we're here tonight on Friday the 13th. I want to welcome everybody listening on Para-X Radio or tuned in or wherever you're listening to right now, everybody in the chat room. And tonight I wanted to talk about ancient dragons and ancient giants and what's going on our physical plane and what might be possibly even hijacking us for hundreds of years. And it's time for us to remember who we are and take our world back. And I feel that basically our physical plane has been hijacked in a way for maybe even hundreds and thousands of years by dark forces, with technologies that are basically from other planes of existence or other worlds that don't have time, don't have a setup like we do. And our timelines and our material world, I feel, has been hijacked for all of these years with beings or a machine or some kind of force with technologies that work in symbols and codes and incantations and spells and rituals and things that can manipulate DNA and consciousness. And I think that we have basically agreed to come back here, to come into this physical world, to this world that's been created and is running this world, and we're helping now feed the machine because we have amnesia. This world, this machine, if you want to call it, this force has given us amnesia at the time of our entry, and we forget our mission and why we've come here, why we've agreed to come here to fight this machine, if you want to call it. And I feel that's our true reason, that maybe not all of us, but many of us have agreed to come here in this lifetime for a certain reason, to help achieve a spiritual way with our population and our inhabitants. And somehow this world has been hijacked, and then we come into this world not knowing who we are, not knowing our true mission, and we come here and we start to wither and we start to fade. And then if we don't start to remember who we are, we become depressed in life. We develop cancers. We develop all types of things that manipulate our soul and manipulate our consciousness and keep us feeding this machine. And since we've started, I think too, that when our world's inhabitants start to achieve a spiritual way and start to find our true mission, and this machine, these entity, whatever you want to call it, they will use their technologies to mind control the masses, to turn us against one another. In many ways, they keep us under the spell, you know, under their spell. And there has been times in history when this force has brought other entities and giants and other types of beings into our realms, and full-out war has broken out. And these giants or other entities have even intermingled with our population, and I feel that its descendants, people in their bloodlines, they are basically ruling this darker machine and still keeping it running and rolling, and maybe not even without their true knowing, you know? And now many of us are awakening once again, and many of us are remembering who we are. And I feel that there is a new battle upon us, and these ancient entities are arising again and coming into our world again in many different ways. And I've dug up a lot of stories tonight that I can show you of ancient dragons and ancient giants where they were even at war with our population. And there is also energies on this planet that we can tap into to start to remember who we are and our true abilities and what we're really meant for. Because we are more than this just physical body. And many of us don't realize who we are. We don't realize what we have inside of us and what we can remember who we really are and what we can become. And I feel that if you look at even the movie They Live, it's like a documentary. It really is. And I feel that our society is like we are asleep and we need to remember who we are. And that there is more going on. These entities, they are ruled. They are using their technologies to rule us with codes and symbols and sigils. They're all over, and it's keeping us in our grid. And when we start to remember and we start to break through that grid, that's when they will take our world back, and they will use certain rituals, mind control the masses to keep us in that sleep. And there is a way to tap into the energies on our planet and to remember who we are. And they've even been called dragon energies or energy lines. And yeah, the show is live in the chat room. If you're in the chat room right now and you're not hearing my show or something's going on, you need to refresh. If anybody's lagging or when a new show starts, for some reason you have to refresh for some reason sometimes. So basically what I was talking about is these ancient giants and these ancient entities and how I feel in the past when they were upon our world, it was because we learned a new spiritual way. We were starting to arise and learn spiritual ways about us, and that's why they came back as to rule and to blanket the population with their magic and their technologies and their force. And if you break down where these ancient stories of the Nephilim came from, right? If you look at the Book of Enoch, the Nephilim were made by the fallen angels or the Watchers coming down and using either their DNA to intermingle with our DNA somehow to create this race, or they literally had sex with women and created a race of giants that they call the Nephilim. And these giants, so are descendants of these Watchers, are these fallen angels. They are children of them. And the fallen angels are where this technology came from. Azazel or Semyaza, or even compared to Baphomet, these beings are what brought what we see as magic to this physical plane. And I feel that our timelines and our world has been manipulated by these entities. And I know in the chat room, somebody had said, what makes me think this plane has been hijacked? And you think there aren't people that could get off on causing trouble for others? It has to be some outside force making them do it. No, I do think that some people literally come into this world as people who get off on causing pain and horror. And sometimes they are made that way by society and by their families and things like that. But what makes me think that it's hijacked is look around you. You know, I am very intuitive as well. I've had certain experiences in my life. And from the research I've done and from the experiences I've had and things that I've seen and heard and been around, I feel that our population is being manipulated by a larger force, an unseen force. And it's not fear. I'm not trying to put fear out there on people or fear mongering. I'm saying there is a way to break through. There is a way to fight this. It's to remember who we are. And I feel that if not all of us, a lot of us have chosen to come here. Like I said, chosen to be here right now in this world, on this timeline, and that these entities are well aware that we came here to fight this and to bring this spiritual way back. And so we're not ruled by material things, and we're not ruled by money, and we're not ruled by time, and we're not ruled by all of the constrictions of this material world that lock down your consciousness and lock down who you are. That's why I feel this world is hijacked, because when you wake up in the morning, you go through insecurities and depressions. And most people, when they don't remember what their true purpose on this planet is, they wither away. They go through their daily life hating life. Every day is longer than the next, and they don't remember what keeps them breathing, what keeps them alive. And they start to make their soul become sick, and you see it more and more. Everyone's soul is becoming sick, and if you don't feed your soul, you wither and die, and cancers develop, and all types of things manifest. And when this manifests on your physical life and in your physical body, it also manifests on other planes of existence, and monsters get created, and they lurk and what's the word I'm looking for? Entwine with your ancestry and your genetics, and if you don't face it, it becomes monster size. And that's where these giants come in. They can manifest in this physical plane and have some of these traits of our ancestors and of our, you know, anger and hate and insecurities. And it's more than this physical life. It's more than what we think out there. And there's been tales going back thousands of years of ancient giants and ancient dragons, and dragons that I feel are more than just a physical being. I feel they're like biological machines. And even these giants, I feel that they are more than just a human, but at a big size. They are also intermingled with some sort of technology that makes them superhuman, with superhuman characteristics. And some of the stories I'll share with you guys tonight will show some of these superhuman characteristics of some of these giants, some of these Nephilim, you know. And I feel like even my buddy Gary Wayne, who I've had on the story, his whole book, Genesis 6 Conspiracy, is based upon how these descendants of giants, their bloodlines, who are not, even if they're not giant in size now, that bloodline is still within them, and they are some of the elites running our world now. And they are helping keep their magic and technology alive and keep us with amnesia and keep us asleep in many ways. And one of the giants in the Ulster County Wars in the Celtic lore was Cuchulainn. And Cuchulainn was the most not only intense but strongest and most powerful of all the giants in the Celtic lore. And he was known as like the greatest of the Ulster champions. And they have what is called as the Ulster Wars. And you can look it up on Google or wherever. But there's a whole tale of the wars of these giants. And I don't know. I'm sorry in the chat room if you're having problems. I know some people. It might be you have to use a different browser. Use Google or something else if you're not using Google. So this giant Cuchulainn, he was known to have certain characteristics, and he was known as the Hound of Cuchulainn. And he had a fierce watchdog and a spear and an eye that was like superhuman. He had supernatural powers and magical weapons. And, you know, he went to war with a whole town, with a whole village. And in this one part in this tale, it was saying that his muscles, actually his body, rotated within its skin, and one eye was protruding from his head, and the other sank into his skull, and his battle cry would drove people insane and drove them mad for generations. That his battle cry, when he would scream, it would drive people and their ancestors insane for lifetimes. And he had a battle fury, and his lethal weapon, the Gabalg, it was like a supernatural spear. And, you know, if you've never looked up the Ulster Wars of the giants of the Celtic legends, that's really interesting. And this Cuchulainn was one of these giants. And there was another tale of Fergus that we talked about with one of my previous shows with Gary Wayne that you guys got to check out too. And Fergus was another giant who was massive in size. And, you know, the tale of these dragons as well always were around the same time as these giants. And dragons, I feel, are supernatural machines that can manipulate our weather and manipulate our world. And I don't feel they were just physical beings like we think. They were much more than that. And they carried the magic of these ancient entities and this ancient force. And there might have been good ones and bad ones. And there's a way to tap into the dragon energy of our planet as well. And the ley lines or power grid or energy lines that we have on our planet are also called dragon lines. And, you know, these dragon lines run all over our Earth. And if you build certain things upon these dragon lines, things can get activated like portals. And things can appear. And our religions of our planet and religions of our world, they will counteract this with building certain monasteries on these power points and different I'm sorry, I was reading the chat room and different things at the time. Yeah, the dragon lines, I mean, ley lines, dragon lines, they're all the power lines upon our planet, and you can tap into them. I mean, they can be basically like the same thing, if you want to call them that. Ley lines are just another way of saying it, but they're also called the dragon lines and the serpent lines. And there's a way to tap into these lines as well. And, you know, there's not – I don't want to also say that it's all about fear, you know, either, because there are also – guardian dragons, I feel, and guardian machines, if you will, that keep the harmony of our planet together. Because I feel we were terraformed here. You know, I feel that this world was terraformed and seeded with, like, seeds and eggs. And that's why we have these ancient dinosaurs that appear in these eggs. And we have seeds and growth on our planet from seeds, because I feel we were terraformed here, even us. And so to get back what I was saying, that certain monasteries, certain churches, certain religions will build their place of worship on these dragon lines or on these in front of places of spiritual power to counteract this. And that's why you'll see certain monasteries and certain churches built right before certain forests or woods or certain areas of powerful spiritual power, because they want to counteract this. They want to throw you off the course and counteract tapping into that spiritual way by putting their place of worship there. And that's why sometimes you'll see a church right where some of these dragon lines are and where this is. And, you know, there's some interesting tales that go back all cultures, and, you know, they're different names and different cultures, but it's all the same tales of these dragons. And, you know, there's a Japanese saying that in heaven a horse is made into a dragon, and among men a dragon is made into a horse. And for the Japanese, they sacrifice horses at the Spring Festival every year. And when the gods withhold the rain, they are sent to heaven, and they will become dragons and preside over the change of water into fire and fire back into water. For the horse only has power over the water because it is a solar animal. And the Scots also speak of this water bull, which they say is harmless, and it's basically through the waves. And before that, it was when it's a horn, the origins of all things was torn off its head by Hercules. And from that, it was the Taurus, the bull horns, and the bull of heaven overthrown by the Babylon hero Enkidu, which is the same as in with the help of Gilgamesh. And that was the same as in the Babylon tale, is the same as in the tale of Hercules. And when he can be seen facing the Taurus, like the constellation of Orion. And that's the same thing as the Eye of Taurus in Aldebaran. And this is all linked to each other, just different names. And the bull's horn was also the Tablet of Destiny and the Eye of Horus. And it was on this tablet that the planet Mercury wrote down the decisions taken by the gods at their spring banquet, as well as the Japanese being the sacrifice of the spring, and the one who wore it on his breast was king. So, like, it was like they all had their stories and these scenarios that resolved around these dragons. And there's also, where's another one that I have too, that I don't know if that was Marduk, but there was another tale of I don't know if it was the Babylonian Enkidu tale, but there was another tale that was like the same thing of the constellation. And I feel that these constellations, how we have the ancient lore of constellations being like an Orion and Hercules holding the Medusa's head and all of these different constellations, I feel that these are these ancient grids that keeps us locked in this matrix in a way, and that they're more than just tales and mythologies, but they're actually tales of technologies and things that we couldn't describe nowadays as we see it as mythology and magic, but it's actually an ancient technologies that's keeping us locked in and keeping us asleep in a way and keeping us having rulers. And I'm sorry if people are having problems with sound and in the chat room. I think it's a refresh thing. Yeah, and the Chinese, yeah, they definitely were descendants of the elites, were descendants of these dragons, for sure. I know in the chat room they're talking about the goddess who created the mankind as the dragon body, hence they called themselves the descendants of the dragons. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, the dragons of wind and storm and in weather in general, they, in the magic lore, belong to a subspecies of air dragons. And they are known to be these long, slender dragons. And in Asian lore, they would seem to have like a flying lump on their foreheads even, and down the spine of their back flutter thin fringes of membrane tissue. And they have like these pale yellow and blues, but change to angry red, orange, and purple or black when they call up their storms. And they have these long, feathery antenna which rise above their brows even, and or their eye ridges. And I feel that these ancient dragon energies can be called upon through draconian magic, through serpent magic, to serpent worship through Naga magic, and that certain people on our planet in the past have called upon these entities and opened certain portals within themselves, within their psyche, and within our physical plane, so these entities can intermingle with their consciousness and they can become like them, and they can manifest and open up certain magical ways and portals on our realm. And I feel even that this is where L. Ron Hubbard got some of his psychic abilities, some of his swag, if you want to put it that way. Some of his, you know, some people look at him like he's a god. Some people look at L. Ron Hubbard like he's a literal god, and they worship him till this day. Even though he's been dead for probably 30 years, they still talk about him like, you know, he, you know, is the man in many ways. And I feel that he called upon an ancient serpent magic. He even intermingled with some of these storm, wind and weather dragons or serpents. And one time when I tried to just do a viewing of L. Ron Hubbard and think about him and think about his personality, I saw antenna rising above his brow, of his ridges, and he was turning this bright red. And I've had certain dreams in my life that I didn't realize involved L. Ron Hubbard. When I was a kid, I had certain dreams of a man with a glowing red hand, and he kept trying to have me grab his hand. And I didn't know who this man was until I got older and I saw something about the book Dianetics. And right then and there, I saw a picture of him, and it gave me chills to the bone. Like, oh my God. And, you know, I have friends that are involved in Scientology. I have people that I've interviewed that are involved in Scientology or were involved in Scientology. And I feel that that religion is a sickness for your soul, if you want to call it a religion. And it's based around vampiric consumption of energy. And they consume energy from all of their loyal followers. And only the elite of the religion benefit. And it's the definition of mind control and programming, right in your face. And when we get back from break, I'm going to go into way more about dragons and giants and portals and places of portal power on our planet, and how we can activate certain places of power on our planet, and how we can see through this hijack of this physical plane. And when we come back, we will get more into this and go further down the spiral of life. This song is called Bulletproof by Far Radio Clouds. We'll be back after this on Para X Radio. Spiral out.
For everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back, and that song was called Bulletproof by Far Radio Clouds, and you can find them on Reverb Nation, and you can find them on SoundCloud, and all of music that you find on this show and my show on Truth Frequency Radio, Eye of Ra Show, is either made by me or my buddy Ricky Rodriguez. And you can find Ricky on Facebook as well and all the places that I mentioned. And yeah, we were talking about dragons and dragon energy and what they possibly are. And, you know, dragon energy in general is a form of static electrical energy that's flowing within our earth and naturally through our earth. It's what keeps our energy and our earth vibrating, and it would explain even the strange sensations that somebody would get when in certain areas of power and certain areas of spiritual natural energy, and especially on sacred spots like I spoke of. And these sensations can be tingling in your fingers, your spine, the back of your neck. Sometimes it will be an unbelievable peace that comes over you, almost like time doesn't exist anymore for a moment, a great sense of peace, and almost in a strange feeling that you can't put your finger on, like you almost can't understand what's going on in a way, but then there's like a, you just can't understand where the energy has come from, but whatever it is so strong, and it's usually, if it's concentrated in a certain area even, or into a contained area, like a stone circle or a spiral, that's when things can activate. That's when portals can activate. So if you put a rock spiral on certain ley lines, certain dragon areas, certain areas of dragon energy, if you put a stone circle or a spiral, there can be activation of portals, or certain things can shift and certain things can appear in our physical realm. And there will be sometimes you will actually see energy rise from the ground without any human-made structures or anything there, just because it's a natural place of power. And these power spots usually cover a long specific area, and a lot of phenomena, if you want to put it that way, or strange phenomena will get created in that area and will exist, even if it's a desert and there's no structures or no stone circles or no stone anything, that there'll just be like a weird energy in the air, and certain things and certain phenomena will appear. It's timelines and certain planes of existence bleeding through into ours, merging through into ours. And even barrow mounds have been long linked with strange happenings. And priests of the original builders of these ancient sites often, you know, stored energy and collected energy from these power points and these power spots. And this is a technology and an ancient practice that is really long lost. And one of these spots that I speak of, one of these stone circles that I speak of, is called the Dragon's Labyrinth. And if you look at what the Dragon's Labyrinth is, it looks like a little maze, a little stones within a stone circle maze. And I don't know if you've ever heard of my experience when I was in Long Beach in the Cesar Chavez Park. But basically what I was pacing inside was the Dragon's Labyrinth. You can look up on Google Earth, search the Cesar Chavez Park in Long Beach, California. It's on 1st and Golden. It goes from 1st and Golden to like 5th Street and Golden, that whole area. And part of the park is made in a Fibonacci spiral, and part of the park has a stone structure that has a poem inside of it. And the stone structure is made in this Dragon's Labyrinth. I didn't know it was a Dragon's Labyrinth at the time. You can see it's man-made and it's in stone, and that it looks almost like a circle within circles, kind of. And you can see that when you're eye level with it. But if you go to a bird's eye view like Google Earth and you look down, it is the exact what a Dragon's Labyrinth in ancient magic and ancient lore is. And I don't know if I've even told this story on Spiral Radio before. I might have, but I don't know if I should go through it again. But basically what I stepped into in that park in this Dragon's Labyrinth activated some sort of portal that I walked into, and I was still in the park, but nobody else was around in the park anymore. When I stepped into it, it was, you know, maybe I should tell the story a little bit, but I don't know if I should get it. I don't know if I told it here once before, but basically what happened was, you know, I was in Long Beach for 2 years, and I was going through a spiritual awakenings and spirit. I was led out there, and I feel it's part of our spiritual timeline to go down these little spiritual paths and have these moments in our life. And if we don't, that's when our soul becomes sick. So, you know, I was meant to go out there and experience this, I feel. And I think that once I did experience, I was also somehow, when certain PowerPoints on this world are activated and certain things are done, you almost show up on a radar of some people's and some covert military and other people's technologies. You somehow, they notice these PowerPoints being activated on our planet, and you become aware to them, maybe, because the weeks following this experience, I was hunted down basically by what I thought at first were private detectives and then police. And, you know, I ended up in an underground installation. I don't even know how long I was there, probably a week, but it felt like only moments, because I only had moments of remembrance of it. I remember getting arrested and then waking up in an underground facility after I was in the police station. And, you know, basically what had happened in this park, I was getting led to this park for weeks, and I would do a certain, certain way I would walk around this stone circle every time I was in it, and I would play my guitar beside it, and I was being led to this park for months, and it's a park that other people were getting led to too. You would just see people, like, you know, all sorts of people just wandering in the park and falling asleep on the grass, and it's a place of dragon energy and natural energy power in that area, in that park. And I feel this Dragon's Labyrinth was built on natural power points, and if certain people activate it or learn how to activate it or accidentally activate it, certain things can appear. And so I would walk into this park every day, you know, for months. I would walk around that stone circle all the time. And this particular day I was supposed to meet my friend James there, and something told me to go there early. Something told me I needed to be there right away. So I was like getting dressed in the mirror and putting on like my uniform, like I knew I was about to go to battle in a way. And it was like I was looking at the mirror, and then I was walking to the park with my eyes on the sky. I remember looking up at the sky being red, and it was like I felt like I was going to battle or something. And I was walking straight towards the park with my eyes up in the air, and it was midday, probably like, you know, a little afternoon or something like that. And I walked into the park, and I knew something was about to happen. Before I even walked into the park, while I was walking down the street, I was going through like a spiritual battle with myself. I looked at my shirt. I don't even know how I got that shirt. I like took it from one of my friend's house. You know, I was living like from place to place at that time in California, because I just went out there out of nowhere on a bus one, you know, from New York. I had nothing with me. You know, I just went out there. That's how I ended up out there. Like, I just had to go out there. And so I took a bus from from New York all the way to Long Beach, California. I couldn't go any further without a boat. So I just went. And when I got there, these things started to happen. So while I was walking down the street, I was like taking my clothes off, saying, oh my God, this isn't my shirt. Looking at my sneakers. Oh my, I borrowed these sneakers from James. I kicked my sneakers off. Like, I took off everything. I was just in gym shorts and nothing else. And I think me being barefoot, and even my friend Masaki had said it to me, me being barefoot and walking inside this Dragon's Labyrinth might have also helped activate what appeared. The fact that I was barefoot against this place of natural power, and something that was inside of me and something awakened or whatever. So when I got to this Dragon's Labyrinth, I walked inside of it a certain amount of times, and I was barefoot and I was almost naked basically. And the park was filled with people. It was an active park. And I'm walking around this stone circle, and then I see this ankh-shaped thing open up about maybe 30 yards from me, maybe even like 50 feet, 60 feet from me. It was like almost like the air unzipped a little bit, and it was in the shape of an ankh. It had the head, a loop on the top, exactly the size of my head. It had arms going out like a cross, and it had a base. And it was actually, it was like a mirror almost, like the air moving. It was part of the air, but it was like a mirror. And I pretty certain I was the only one that could see it at that time. Pretty sure. I even looked around for a second to see if anybody else was seeing this. And, you know, as I walked towards it, I just was enchanted towards it. It was for me. I knew it was for me. So I walked towards it with my arms out, you know, arms like out in, you know, to face the arms of this structure or whatever this air was, you know. And the minute I started to walk into it, my whole body started to vibrate, and I started to feel almost like when I had an out-of-body experience when I was younger. I felt that that like everything slowed down and that vibrate, and I could see the particles in the air slowing down, like everything slowing down. And I stepped in and I made contact with it, and I remember my whole body shaking for a split second, and then just peace, like I hit a wall. Like, it was just, I was like out of it, and everything was peaceful, and it's like time wasn't there anymore. It was just, I just felt this unbelievable peace about me. And I looked back, and the ankh thing was no longer there. I looked around. I was still in the same park, but there was nothing. It was silence. Nobody around. Nothing. It was still, I don't remember if it was still the same shade of daylight or what, but it felt like the same exact park, just empty. And I remember thinking that, oh, wow, what is this, these weeds or this wheat in front? It was like this tall grass in front of me that was brownish with barrels at the top. It looked almost like wheat or some kind of weeds in front of my face, like tall grasses. So I felt like I needed to part them out of the way so I can walk through. And so I went to move them out of the way, and they moved, but my hands didn't touch it. Like I was, my hands weren't on anything. I felt no contact with my hands. And as I moved them out of the way, they just seemed to move without me touching anything. So I walked through this, and I started to look towards the back of the park where they have these chairs and these little tables set up. There's these like table and chairs bolted down in that park where they were back then in 2002. And there's like four chairs to each little table where you could play like dominoes or cards or whatever you want to, you know, play with four chairs at each table. And I realized that I'm not alone in this park, that there are something there with me. And I'm staring now at it, and I feel myself walking towards it without feeling myself walking. But I knew I was moving toward it. It's a hard thing to explain, but I was moving towards them without feeling my feet walking. And sitting at all of these tables were the same exact thing. They all were identical according to what I remember. They were all identical, and they were all probably about 3 foot tall. They were sitting down on these chairs, so I don't know exactly how tall, but they looked like they were little, real little. And they were humanoid shape, but they were not human. They had this yellow and red, I don't know if it was clothing, but it was tight. It was like, it looked like skin, but it was like a yellow top and a red bottom, or a red bottom and a yellow top, something like that. And their face was completely white, almost painted white, with this painted on evil smile. And they had these little nubs over their eyebrows, not horns. They weren't really pointy. They were like nubules. And they had this like evil looking ominous smile about them. And they all had a painted on smile, like the smile didn't move. And as I walked past every table, they all would turn at me slowly with that smile looking at me. And then I saw that they were playing cards. They were all playing cards. So I felt myself like getting drawn towards one of the tables. And I walked right up on one of the tables, and they were playing cards. And I looked into one of the thing's hands where his card was, and it was a red, it was a see-through diamond with like a red outline. And the diamond had some kind of movie playing inside of it. And at first, I'm looking inside the diamond, and it's a movie about my life. It's certain things that happened to me when I was a kid, certain things like that. And then I'm hearing in my head, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. And then I start muttering, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. And then I look back in the diamond, and I see dinosaurs, like, and these huge dragons or serpents or whatever you want to call them, but they were feathered and very feathery and very different than what our world shows as dinosaurs. And they were battling each other, and they were, and in the chat room, they asked if anyone noticed me there. Yeah, when I first walk in the park, yeah, people noticed me in the park. But then when I activated this thing and stepped into it, I was in the park without anyone there anymore. Like I was in maybe another dimension of the park or an alternate timeline of the park or something like that. But that Dragon's Labyrinth is what opened up that Ankh-shaped thing that I stepped into. And then so I'm looking in this diamond, and I'm seeing now, after muttering, it's not all about me, and hearing that telepathic message in my head that it's not all about you, I looked back into the diamond, and now I see serpents battling each other while the world is burning, and the world is volcanoes erupting and everything, and instead of helping each other while the world is burning, these things are killing each other, right? And then I shake my head a little bit, and I look back into it, and like I remember like shaking my head all the time, And like, it, and then when I would look back into it, it would be another image. So after I like shook myself or whatever happened, I vibrated in a way, I guess. I looked back into the diamond and I saw the same thing now, but humans battling each other and killing each other and running through stores and like mass chaos while the world is burning and there's flooding and all these things happening. So it was like apocalyptic scenery, and instead of humanity helping each other, they were killing each other. And after like I shook my head out again, and I remember I snapped back out of it, and all of a sudden the park was the way it was originally, and I was standing in a group of people. I was walking through a group of people, and there was a child next to me with like a glass of lemonade, I remember, and I took the lemonade from him and I started downing it like it was saving my life. And like, you know, I've had sensory issues too ever since this experience. Like certain fabrics on my skin feel weird. Certain things just don't feel right. And so I wandered out of the park into the alleyway behind, and I remember feeling like I was having an orgasm as I'm walking out of the park, and I actually was pissing my pants, and I actually urinated on myself twice. And but the feeling that was coming over me was like a feeling of ecstasy. But what was happening, it was while I was having this feeling of ecstasy, I was actually peeing myself. And so I got into the alleyway, and I was huddling on the ground, holding my knees, rocking back and forth, thinking I'm never going to snap out of it and I'm never going to be sane again. And I'm rocking back and forth in my wet gym shorts, you know, and I'm muttering to myself, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. And I'm saying that over and over again. And then my friend James walked by and was like, oh, Ra, I've been looking for you for like a day and a half. You were supposed to meet me in the park yesterday morning or whatever. And, you know, like a day or two ago. And I've been looking for you ever since. What the hell happened to you? And he was telling me how bad I looked. And I looked all sunken in and like I haven't eaten in days. So that whole experience, too, was about maybe 5 or 10 minutes that I recall. And apparently I was gone for possibly like a day and a half. And it looked like I hadn't eaten in a couple of days, and I was sunken in a little bit and sick. So I don't know if I stepped into an alternate dimension and time was just passing on Earth and wasn't passing where I was, or what happened, or I was given some kind of message through that. But that park, even without anybody knowing of my experiences, my friend Masaki, who you've all heard on this show before, he has asked people about that park because he lives in LA, and they always say they don't know of my experience, but they always say that there's some sort of spiritual something going on in that park. People can feel that vibe in that park. And it's weird because after I did my research and I looked on Google Earth, and I seen that that's basically a stone dragon's labyrinth inside of that park. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I maybe have activated some kind of ancient portal within that park. And, you know, that those little beings that I've seen, they could be maybe a what some call the Fae, or some kind of simulated experience for my consciousness, or, you know, many things. But, you know, I even did a lot of research to see if possibly there's feathered dragons or feathered dinosaurs. And, you know, they were known to have feathered looking scales around their eyes and their necks in some lore and some tales. And in in Britain in 1669, or around that time, there was known as the Henham dragon. And the Henham dragon was described as being about 9 feet tall and small wings, and around his eyes he had feathers. And the Henham dragon made a number of appearances to people in this physical world, you know, not in their minds, for several years to an amazing number of people in that area in Britain before it started to disappear. And I believe that he is part of these weather dragons that can manipulate the weather and can inhabit cloud banks, and they're always moving, and they can look like clouds, or they're always in the very high mountain peaks, and they are the whistling winds that never cease. They are inside the wind, and there is an ancient Chinese celestial dragon that was known as Fei Lin, who was said to appear as a dragon with a bird's head and deer horns and a snake's tail. And the Chinese still hold processions to this dragon today and mark their new year and ask the dragon for rain and fertility. And this dragon was known as the Lord of all dragons, the Celestial Lung. And he was different from all their species because he had five claws. And he appears to be a dual element dragon. And, you know, I have to go now because it's like a minute till the next show comes on. But there's so much more I can do on this topic. And thank you that everybody joined us tonight. And you could find me tomorrow on TFR Live with my show Eye of Ra. And my guest will be remote viewer John Herlosky. I'll see you guys next time. And I want to say thanks to Pyrex Radio, my producer Sarge, and everybody listening out there on the web. And Spiral out. You.